Welcome to Targeted, True Crime, Domestic Violence. We tell stories of those who were targeted by domestic abuse and investigate cases of family violence, using academic research to interpret the events. As a college professor, I think we need to stop making family violence a secret. It's time to tell our stories, use our experiences to help, heal, and provoke change. Targeted discusses sensitive information about abuse. Details may be graphic, and listener discretion is advised. I'm Mo Blackwell, the host of Targeted. Last week on Targeted, we heard from Cynthia, a current college student who described her early cyber relationship with Ryan, who was a young adult man. Cynthia had met Ryan online when she was 13 years old, and within a few months, the man had groomed her enough to make her comfortable sending him sexual videos. His demands became increasingly uncomfortable for Cynthia, and she involved her mother to try to get out of the relationship. Her mom contacted the cyber tip line, hoping for law enforcement to either prosecute Ryan for child pornography or at least scare him. She found out years later that he was never even contacted, despite the supposed involvement of police departments in two states. When we ended last week, Cynthia had cut off contact with Ryan and was moving forward with her life. She was still in high school, getting ready to go into her sophomore year, and she had changed schools again, made a new set of friends, started dating one of those boys, and seemed to have Ryan firmly in her past. While her mom had originally employed extreme monitoring on Cynthia's phone and computer to make sure she knew what was happening in her young teenager's virtual life, after about a year, she stopped the monitoring. Before we pick up with hearing Cynthia's story from her, I wanted to fill you in on a couple things that have come up in questions or comments in the past week. First of all, one listener brought up a language choice that I was making that I had not thought about before her email. I was calling the sexual videos child pornography, since legally it was child pornography. Now, this is fine when we're talking about it from the viewpoint of Ryan's transgressions, but it's not the best choice when we're talking about it from Cynthia's viewpoint. This particular listener brought it up after listening to another podcast called Hunting Warhead, in which they reframed it that when you're speaking from the viewpoint of the victim, that it should be labeled child abuse images. I have not listened to the podcast myself yet, but I definitely agree with the reframing of this because we need to take the stigma away from people who are victims or survivors of this type of activity. So we should take the stigma away from Cynthia, and that needs to be placed firmly on Ryan. Thank you for bringing this up, Nina, and I will try to be more careful in word choices in this episode. A second thing a few of you brought up is some confusion about how Cynthia uses pronouns in her interview. When she is speaking of Ryan, she sometimes uses the pronoun they for him instead of the pronoun he. This can be a bit confusing, and early on in our interview, I questioned her about it.
Since the student is 19, they were a bit more experienced in life, and so they were familiar with it, and they were a horn dog.
They? You mean he.
And he was a horn dog.
Sometimes Cynthia continued to use the pronoun they for Ryan, and after the first time, I didn't ask about it anymore. I'm fairly hands-off in an interview. I like to ask open-ended questions and let the person take control from there, deciding how deep they want to go. If needed, I'll ask follow-up questions, but I try to stay out of the way as much as possible and not interrupt the flow of the story. It wasn't until after we were done recording that I asked Cynthia about the pronoun usage. She has a good friend who is transgender, and this person prefers the pronoun they rather than he or she. So after being friends with this person for a couple years, Cynthia has simply adapted to using the second person plural in general. It's become a habit for her, something she doesn't really think about. She said she tried to use the pronoun he after I questioned her earlier in the interview, but she stopped thinking about it after a while, and she just wasn't often aware of which pronoun she was using. So you'll hear her use both he and they when she's referring to Ryan. Okay, let's join back with Cynthia and hear how Ryan became a part of her life again when she was 17 years old.
Junior year was a bit rough for me with friendships because there were some people that I got along with and then some people that I didn't get along with, but it was just an odd year. I moved schools after freshman year, and I got into a new school sophomore year, and I had had a relationship the majority of sophomore year, but I had never quite developed friends of my own, so all of my ex's friends were now not exactly my friends, so I would have had to get a new friend group, but once again, I was still struggling making friends at that point, so I didn't quite have a new friend group. So junior year, there was a very limited number of people that I really enjoyed interacting with, and there was no one who really like reached out and text me or anything. So it was a pretty lonely year, so I didn't quite have a support system senior year, otherwise I probably wouldn't have gotten back with Ryan. In the summer leading up to my senior year of high school, I got back with Ryan because I was in a fairly bad place, and I knew that basically that there would be an easy source of attention, and that was my reason for getting back in contact with Ryan, because I knew I was the one who initiated the contact again. Yeah, so what happened there is that it never quite sat well with me how me and Ryan had broken up. Like, I don't know, like, I didn't understand it. Like, I'd always thought, oh, it's a personal choice for me to basically do child pornography type thing. Back then, it was just like, yeah, it was my choice to do those things and to, like, show him myself type stuff. And I didn't have him listed as a bad guy in my head whatsoever. It felt like I was making adult decisions and making my own path in life type thing. We kind of fell back into the same relationship patterns. Well, not quite relationship patterns, because I had matured at least an inch, but it was like we knew each other still. Like, it wasn't hard to re-engage connection. None of my friends in real life knew about him other than that I had an online boyfriend. But even then, like, I was a little bit secretive about that. It was only like if people tried to pursue me, just like, yeah, I'm been in a relationship for a hot second. I'm not looking for another thing. I'm not looking for a side piece. Like, nah.
The relationship, again, filled basic human needs that Cynthia had for connection. Some of you may be familiar with a concept called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, which was first published in the Psychological Review Journal in 1943 by sociologist Abraham Maslow. The idea is that all people have a set of needs that we are motivated to fill, and we concentrate on needs in which we have a deficit. The most basic need we have is for physiological needs, such as the need for food or water or shelter. If our physiological needs are not met, they become more insistent and consume a greater part of our attention. For instance, if you are hungry and need food, if you don't meet that need early on, your hunger will grow and it becomes of greater importance to eat. You may not be able to think about or concentrate on anything else until that need is met. Once physiological needs are met, the next set of needs concern safety and how important it is for us to feel secure, both a physical safety as well as an emotional safety. Once physiological and safety needs are met, the third level of needs is about love and belonging. This is where Cynthia felt her deficit. While she had some needs for love and belonging met by family, she was not feeling the need being met by friends. And she also felt a little ignored or slighted by family because of the situations of divorce and some strife that was happening. She spent about a year after breaking off the relationship with Ryan, feeling that lack of belonging, and it became stronger and stronger and stronger. As Maslow posited, the longer a need is denied, the stronger that need is and the more we need to seek to fill it. Cynthia's lack of fulfillment of the need to belong had a profound impact on her, and she eventually returned to someone who had filled the need in the past, Ryan. As upset as her mother feels about it, I realize it would make a certain sense to a teenager. Oh, for heaven's sakes, this makes sense for adults as well. When the deficit need is so strong that it's the equivalent of starving, one is pushed to fulfill it by any means possible. Ryan was the means to meet her need to belong. Perhaps parents can pay attention here. I don't want to judge Cynthia negatively for returning to Ryan, but instead I want other parents to be aware that your children have the same drive to belong, and they will seek to fulfill that need somewhere, somehow. Be aware. Maybe you can facilitate opportunities for them to have deeper connections with peers so this need is not raging out of control in their lives. While Cynthia was having her basic need to belong being filled by Ryan, sadly, he was manipulating her to cut her off further from her face-to-face relationships, ensuring that she would have to come to him to have this need met. In other words, while he seems to be filling this need for her, he is also making sure that she has no other relationships that might also help fill this need for love. And because of this, she feels as if she cannot leave him or she will have no one, nothing. It didn't start out quite so stark, though. In the beginning, it was just that he didn't want her to have any male friends.
Ryan did not believe in males and females being friends, which is kind of outrageous if you think about it, and it's a control tactic. And it shows that your partner does not trust you. If your partner says, like, you can't do that, like, I don't trust them, they don't trust you. And that's something I had to learn. I would snap back at him a bit whenever he would try to say that type of things, but I did isolate because I didn't want to have fights in the first place. I did have a few male friends that ran in the same group. Like, they weren't at my school or anything, so it would have been, like, only outside events that I could have engaged with them with. But he wasn't a big fan of that. Now I would be going to the movies with, like, a group of 10 people. Nah. Ryan did not appreciate me doing that, so I never scheduled anything, and I kind of self-isolated there because it was a pattern that was repeating itself a bit from the past. Ryan would get extraordinarily moody. Just like, it would be like, you can just kind of feel, like, you know, kind of how, like, a parent can radiate disappointment. It was a bit like that. So there was only one incident, really, where Ryan said he lost trust in me. It was senior year. There was a boy who was interested in me. They seemed like they were being friendly, but Ryan had the opinion that every guy who talks to you wants a relationship. Now, I'll give him this one. This boy probably did want a relationship, but Ryan got extraordinarily pissed at me for even just engaging with this person. So after Ryan got extraordinarily mad at me, I ended up pulling the person aside, which was extraordinarily uncomfortable for me. And I told him, like, yeah, you gotta stop. And the dude never talked to me again. But that wasn't flirting or cheating, per se. That was just like, you need to stop this right now. I wasn't quite sure of the intentions of this person. So before I knew the intentions of this person, I'd already shut them down.
Things progressed into Ryan wanting Cynthia to meet all of his needs for love and belonging. Because, of course, all humans have this need, so Ryan has the need just as much as Cynthia has the need. But he didn't want anyone else to fill his needs. He just wanted her. Ryan, however, was an adult man looking for an underage girl to meet his need for love and belonging.
I'm trying to give you guys an example about just, like, let's say there's a girl and she wants to hang out with a friend and her partner is being controlling. Ryan would be like, oh my gosh, like, she's gonna cheat on him type thing. And just, like, guys and girls shouldn't be friends. Like, and I'd fight back a bit with him on it. Just like, no, like, if a girl has a friend, like, that doesn't automatically mean that they're sexually attracted to each other, romantically attracted to each other, emotionally attracted to each other. Like, you can have platonic friends. Like, that's a thing in life. And so for the second run of the relationship, I think he also assumed that I felt the same way as him, which was a little bit asinine to me. Just like, you can hang out with friends all you want. Like, you realize, like, I should not be your only emotional support whatsoever. And he's just like, oh, really? Yeah, like, I don't have the same criteria you do. Like, I do not feel the same way about this. So whenever I got back with Ryan, he did have a different job this time around. So he never actually told me where he worked or what exactly he did, from what I recall. But he had a few co-workers who enjoyed his company, but he never really hung out with them, and he gave them names. There was Food Girl. I liked Food Girl. There was Gay Guy. I didn't name these, as a heads up. There was MILF. And I think that was it. Those were the main ones I remember. So I don't know, it's just really funny to me. And Food Girl was into him, but you know what? Like, I wasn't feeling threatened. Like, I was just like, okay, nice, nice. And then Gay Guy was just kind of sweet and wholesome. Like, I don't know. He was just cute. Oh, I was really good with him having friends. Also, I'm just like, you realize, like, you can go and do things with them. Like, I have no issues with you being with Food Girl. I have no issues with you being with Gay Guy. Yeah, like, you can hang out with them literally anytime you want. Like, I have zero issues here with you having friends. Because, once again, I can't be all of your emotional support system. Because his family wasn't close. Yeah, so I was all he had for a while, which gets exhausting.
This carried through to when Cynthia was a freshman in college. While now an adult, Cynthia is bound up in an emotionally abusive relationship in which she really can't have face-to-face friendships in her life. To be more accurate, she could have people that she would call friends in real life, but she couldn't do anything with them or Ryan would get jealous. To be clear, he never forbid her from having friends, but he demanded her attention and made her feel bad if she spent time with other people. At this point, Cynthia was meeting people in college whom she liked, people she felt were friends. She just couldn't do anything with them outside of the classroom.
But then in freshman year of college, I finally was able to start developing quite a few more friendships. Like, once again, during freshman year, like, I'd be friends with them in college, but I would never hang out with them outside of it, which got a little bit sad sometimes. Because just, like, you should be able to hang out and have friends. I never even attempted to really engage with friends whenever I was with him, because I'm just like, I know if I do this, like, somehow it'll come back to me and he'll be pissy. I don't really want to deal with that. So it was a lot of self-censoring to try to appease every single thing he felt. He definitely got ornery, but it was more like he would accuse me of not prioritizing him, which would be a little bit goofy because literally whenever I spend 6 hours a night talking to you, like, you think I'm not prioritizing you every single day, 6 hours a day. Hello? So something, for example, that he didn't like me doing is that on Wednesdays at around 7 o'clock, there would be a club meeting for what could be considered the nerd club. And I would always want to go to it, but he would always get absolutely pissed with me if I even mentioned it, because that was one of his days off, and he didn't want me to go somewhere on one of his days off. And so, like, I had to cut that out of my schedule. And I'm just like, all right, like, that actually seemed like it was a bit of fun. And so I didn't go for that whole year to that club, even though I really wanted to. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I had a roommate. I enjoyed her. Like, she was a decent roommate. We didn't end up rooming again, but, like, I enjoyed her company. She was an extrovert and a little bit of a chatterbox. So what happened there was, is that every once in a while, like, she'd get started on a story. And, like, she would get my attention because, you know, she's right there in front of me. And max, we'd talk for, like, 30 minutes a day. But, like, good conversation. Whenever it was real life people and, like, my roommate, like, he would get so annoyed at her. And there was no reason to really get annoyed with her. Like, I can kind of get being annoyed at, but that's whenever you start doing your own thing and play a game. You don't have to be waiting on a partner for the next 30 minutes to entertain you. And that's what he wanted from me, was entertainment. Because he had nothing else. There wasn't anyone else that he was close with. There wasn't anyone else who he would tell his problems to. Like, I was his one support for a very long time. But he would get so out of shape whenever I would talk to her with him around. Like, he'd be like, oh my gosh, like, you're ignoring me. So he would get very bent out of shape whenever my roommate would be talking to me for more than 10 minutes.
I asked Cynthia if Ryan lessened his control over her being with friends once she had clearly told him that she wanted him to spend time with his friends. He did not.
No, absolutely not. He did not reciprocate. But at that point, I guess I was a little bit more resigned to my fate. Just like, okay, like, I guess this is the way it's going to be.
I asked her if this felt normal to her at the time of the relationship.
I knew it wasn't normal, but it was still at that point in time where I didn't have any strong connections, emotional connections, or any support system. So, like, I knew that I should have had a support system. I knew that I should be talking to people. But, for example, like, my mom was busy with a mentally ill sister, and we didn't really connect that well because I wanted her to focus her attention on my sister while I was just kind of managing in college. Ryan was a way for me to have emotions but not need to go through other people with it. So Ryan was generally there for me emotionally. Like, he would respond well to whenever I was upset, generally. But there were multiple times throughout the relationship where we would have fights and spats because he was being unreasonable. I learned to operate in ways that would keep him satiated and not up my ass.
At this point, Ryan is still meeting some of her deficit needs for love and belonging, but she's now realizing that he is not meeting all of that need. She is missing out on connections with others with whom she wants to spend time. When she was younger, there was no one else she wanted to spend time with, but now that was shifting as she grew older, and she wanted to develop face-to-face friends at college. It also started to affect her academic life.
He demanded a lot more out of me than I did from him.
So what did he demand?
So, once again, time, attention. I would usually say quality time, like, he'd get a little bit annoyed if I was doing schoolwork for too long.
Ryan continued to pressure Cynthia sexually. Although it was no longer child abuse videos, as she was over 18, it was not something she enjoyed.
Another thing he required of me was sexual maintenance is the way I'd call it. So basically, let's put it this way. I had a lower libido than him, usually because of him pressuring me. And so there was times where I would do things to basically satiate him, but like, I wouldn't want to, like, if you're ever in front of a camera, sometimes it's not enjoyable. Like, straight up, I would do things and, like, not have fun doing them because it was just to appease him. It was odd, but I was accepting of it at the time because I wanted him to be happy with me, because you never want a partner to be a bit off because of you. But it shouldn't have been pressured so heavily. It made me extraordinarily uncomfortable. I had told him quite a few times, like, you're pressuring too hard. I'm really not enjoying this. Like, I'm getting no satisfaction out of this. And he would never respect it. Like, I mean, he may for a couple of days. But a week later, it'd be the whole talk of, yeah, basically you're not putting out enough, even though we're not in real life. But basically you're not putting out enough for me. He definitely wanted to keep sexual tones inside of the relationship. I didn't really care so much for them, but he certainly did, so I did it once again more of an appeasement than as a job or a chore, but it was a chore in my mind. It was definitely to satisfy him.
I asked if Cynthia's mother was aware of the relationship the second time around.
My mother did not know this time at all. I was calling Ryan by a different name. And it was like a nickname, like it was his middle name. So let's say his middle name was Samuel. I call him Sam instead of Ryan. Mom thinks this is a completely different person, and she's just kind of a little bit weirded out about how much I'm talking to Sam. So Sam is Ryan. That was odd. She didn't know I was dating Sam either. So that was quite a surprise to her whenever she learned that Ryan was Sam.
When the relationship finally ended after 2.5 years, Cynthia was feeling the weight of it and was no longer very satisfied with it, but also felt a little bit of inertia and was not actively looking to end the relationship either.
Isolation is never fun, and also it never feels good to only have one person who wants to be your whole world. It isn't always a bad thing whenever you just need a temporary thing to lean on to have one person, but whenever that's literally your whole life for 2.5 years, that becomes an issue. And whenever they discourage you from seeking out other relationships that involve, like, friendships and connections.
We'll pause for a moment and hear from our sponsors. The impetus for the permanent breakup between Cynthia and Ryan was external and a bit complicated. Essentially, Cynthia had confided in her sister about the relationship with Ryan. Although the sister kept it confidential for more than a year, there came a time when her sister was in trouble over something and was furious with Cynthia. The sister calls their mom and tells her about Ryan. Cynthia thinks her sister did this to take the attention off of herself and make her mom mad at Cynthia rather than the sister. It worked to the extent that now mom knew about Cynthia and Ryan. I communicated with Cynthia's mom about this, and she describes it as being 100% blindsided. She had no clue that Cynthia had ever resumed contact with Ryan, much less being in a relationship with him for a couple years. She considered Ryan a pedophile, and even though Cynthia was now an adult, she hated the thought of him being a part of her daughter's life. Although she was tempted to try and issue an ultimatum to Cynthia to break off contact immediately, she was afraid that if she did that, Cynthia's response would be to end contact with her instead. She said she clearly told Cynthia what her feelings were about Ryan, and her opinion was that the relationship should end, but she also told Cynthia that she would not control her. Mom decided instead to put distinct boundaries around her own life and expect Cynthia to respect these boundaries. The mom refused to speak with Ryan, even though he was begging to talk to her, and she refused to listen to him because evidently he wanted to try to convince her that he loved her daughter and to try to gain her blessing. Mom told Cynthia that she would not pay for anything that was used to contact Ryan. For instance, since mom paid for Wi-Fi in the house, Cynthia could not use the Wi-Fi to contact Ryan. Cynthia would have to go elsewhere and use free Wi-Fi. Cynthia could not use her phone to text him unless Cynthia wanted to start paying for her own phone bill. Now, mom felt like these were all meager and ineffective responses, but she was also barely holding on by her fingertips because this was not the only crisis that the family was dealing with at the moment. There was also the whole other situation with Cynthia's sister. I puzzled over this, and I do not know what the best response from a parent of an adult would be in a situation like this. It seems to have been a workable choice in this case because it didn't escalate animosity, so the two were able to talk. Let's hear about it from Cynthia.
So my mom finds out, and I'm technically an adult at this point. I'm 18, almost 19 at this point. So she's here just like, if you talk to him, like, you realize I'm not paying for your phone bill. You can't talk to him on my Wi-Fi. You can talk to him, just not with my dollars. And just like, okay, that's very fair. Like, I get that. And so I would respect that as best as possible. So I was taking a summer class because sometimes you do that to get ahead in life. So I was taking a summer class, and so I was using the college's Wi-Fi in general to talk to him, but it was a very intensive course, and I didn't really have a ton of time to talk to him, and I didn't really want to stay at the college after hours to talk to him because I had work due still. Honestly, contact died out a decent bit. Like, we were still in a relationship at that point. There was just reduced contact. As time goes on, and as more discussion is finally opened about him with my mom, things started pouring out about, like, he didn't really allow me to have friends. He didn't like me being around other people. He wanted all my attention on him all the time. She begins to ask some probing questions. And you know what? The relationship wasn't well. He had done things like pressure me to do things I really didn't want to do. So going back to the child pornography, 17 is still child pornography. And he had definitely pressured me to do things that I really didn't want to do. And yeah, I was not a major fan of it, but I did it because in the name of love. So what happens after that? Is that I kind of tell him, like, you know what, like, I'm not quite feeling the relationship as much anymore. Like, neither of us are putting in effort because I kind of said, we gotta halt this effort because, one, Wi-Fi, two, can't really talk to you on my phone because I respect my mom. He kind of tries to put a bit of pressure on me to start talking to him more, and at that point, I was pretty off. Quite frankly, I don't want to deal with this right now. And so, 10 days before our birthday, I'm just like, Ryan, this isn't working for me. And I break up with him. He does the whole song and dance, lots of crying. Whenever I full-on broke up with Ryan, and I'd basically tell him, like, yo, have a nice life, but please don't involve me in your life anymore, I decided to go no contact. Like, I went straight up no contact.
Cynthia felt like she wanted a complete break from Ryan, and because she now recognized how he manipulated her and made her feel guilty when she wasn't in constant contact with them like she had been before. She told Ryan that she didn't want to have any further contact with him. Ryan, however, didn't respect her request for no contact. He sent her the following message, and let me just give you a heads up that the F word is used multiple times here.
I don't understand anything that happened in those weeks that made you come up with that decision. I'm really fucking heartbroken. I feel I didn't do anything wrong, that I was being understanding and supportive of anything, and we would do better than ever once you went back to college. I really don't understand how you can move, how you can try to move on so seamlessly and change so fast and easily. Maybe you no longer love me? I don't know, but I really fucking love you, Cynthia, so much. I had a case someone put poison in your mind about me and us, but it's really fucking unfair if that's what happened. We can, could have been so much more. Fuck what other people say or think. They won't be there forever if they can't even let you make your own life decisions. I'd understand if I was a horrible human being, but I was nothing except a positive influence. To break down this message a little bit more, he started with the whole us against the world thing. I never subscribed to that. I think that it's always great to have a support system, but Ryan wanted it to be us against the world. He wanted me to have issues with everyone else in my life for trying to force us apart, which I didn't feel that way at all. Like, honestly, I came to this decision on my own after being separated from him. Sure, I had talks with my mom about his treatment of me, but she was never poisoning my mind. It was talk initiated by me, generally, as long as she was comfortable with it. This was on me, and it kind of made me feel like he didn't realize this was my own choice, and he's kind of calling my choice stupid, and I'm just like, you know what? If you're calling my choice stupid, maybe it was smart. So the way I responded to his message about only being a positive influence on my life was, I like myself better without you, is what I found out. There's your closure. Don't contact me or anyone in an attempt to talk to me. I do not see a future I like with you anymore. I don't have any wish to be with you. Good luck in life, but stay away from mine. And he says, you're literally only seeing the negatives, making them bigger and remembering nothing of the good. I thought we agreed in talk we had about me working on the things you really didn't like. So, for example, I chewed into him at the very end of the relationship about him not letting me have friends throughout the whole relationship. And he said that he'll work on it. Way too late. Like, I had called this out before and he just didn't respect it. Oh, but now all of a sudden that there's a chance we'll break up, he'll respect it. So it just showed me that he could have respected it. He chose not to. And he said, I always change whatever you see as a deal breaker. Oh, no, he didn't. Constantly work to improve myself overall. It seems nothing will change your mind, however, which is really sad. I guess that's it then. I tried, but you don't want it. My love, the times we had together, our words, hopes, and dreams mean nothing. Bye, Cynthia. It was great.
I asked Cynthia what advice she had for anyone who might be involved in a similar relationship, and she recommends people take an online quiz at the website loveisrespect.org. She had done this with Ryan, but now she thinks she did not pay enough attention to the results. She thinks you should.
So there's this really fun website called loveisrespect.org. There is a quiz that you can take basically saying, like, what is the health of my relationship? Like, is my relationship healthy? For fun, I took it, and so did Ryan. He got red, which is obviously, like, red flags. Like, he has things he needs to work on. The first time I took it, I got a yellow flag, meaning that there are things I need to change, because in the beginning of the relationship, I was passive-aggressive. Like, I know I was. I was frustrated, angry, didn't know how to manage emotions. I wanted to punish him, and that wasn't really fair. Then, midway in the relationship, I made him take it again. I took it as well. He got red flags again. Nothing had changed. I got green flags. I had changed. I had improved. He still got red, and I got green that time.
The relationship between Ryan and Cynthia has been over for more than a year, and in that time, Cynthia has come to recognize Ryan's controlling and abusive patterns of behavior. While she didn't see it when she was 14 or 17 or even 18, she sees it now. She enjoys her life, and she now knows what she wants out of a relationship. She asks questions, listens to answers, and is alert for red flags and even yellow flags. She is not down on online relationships in general, just abusive relationships where the other person isolates you from everyone else and pressures you to do things that you do not want to do. Here are her closing thoughts.
Life is good, but also I realized things that I did not want out of a relationship. Like, one of the questions I now ask to vet people is, can males and females be friends? And if they say no, it's an immediate gone, like, bye. Clearly, you do not have the trust available in your life currently to have a relationship. And if you can't trust someone, you shouldn't have a relationship.
If any of these things sound familiar to you, the controlling, the pressure, the isolation, I hope Cynthia's story will help. Take the quiz at loveisrespect.org and check on the health of your relationship. What started out as Ryan meeting Cynthia's basic need for love and belonging devolved into him trying to make it so that he was the only one who could meet these needs for her, thus creating an environment where she could lose her only support if she didn't do what he wanted. It was only when there is a distance due to lack of access to the internet that she recognized what was really happening. Cynthia, I'm proud of you for moving forward in your life, excelling at college, and now finding strong supports elsewhere. And my dear friends, I pray for the same for you. Thanks so much for joining us at Targeted Podcast, True Crime, Domestic Violence. If you're interested in my sources or research, I include a bibliography on my website, www.targetedpodcast.com. If you want to support the show, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and writing a sentence or two about what you like. It helps other listeners to find us. If you have constructive criticism, I would like to hear it, but I'd appreciate an email about it. You can reach me at targetedpodcast@gmail.com. Targeted has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. Links to those will be in the show notes. We also have a Patreon account, which was recently revised so that you can gain early access to ad-free episodes for $1 each. If you want early access to all of the episodes in a month, it will be $4 most months, and there would be no expense for months when we do not have new episodes. Please stay tuned for the promos at the end of the podcast and check them out if they sound interesting. I'll include links to them in my show notes. As we end, let me emphasize that if you or someone you know is targeted by abuse, you are not alone. I've included some contact information in the show notes and on the website about a number of different organizations who can help. Leaving an abusive relationship can be one of the most dangerous times for a target, and I strongly encourage you to reach out for support. It may be the hardest thing you ever do, but it will be worth it. I'm Mo Blackwell, the host of Targeted. Peace, my friends. Peace.